Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Sundays with Sucharita here on Sunday, May 15th, 2016. Welcome to everyone who's joining for the first time and those of you who have been joining throughout the past few years that we've had this weekly call program that is offered to the global audience and also any members who have been in other programs offered through Fly Center or AstroVet, welcome as well. And today is a very special day because it is a sun transit day. So what does that mean? The sun represents our soul. So we want to see what our soul is up to, what it's going to point to in our lives, and what we can do about it to get the most out of our soul's purpose for the next 30 days. Last month it was in the sign of Aries, so if you feel like there's more energy coming in, or you feel like you wanted to have a new makeover or do something new with your life, or you did have a makeover and you did do something new with your life and you are blazing trails, then that's because the sun is in a fiery sign. It's the first sign of the zodiac, Aries, and it just wants to hit the ground running. So it wants to make sure that you have, you have a fresh start, and it's spring, so spring ahead. So now it's in Taurus, so what's going to happen with the sun in Taurus? What's going to happen with our soul's desires? How are they going to be expressed? Well, we have our fabulous Vedic astrologer Radha here today sharing about that. So we will invite her onto the open discussion once we go through the meditation. So, but before that, we're just going to give a little preview of what is happening. So if last week you felt like, a little tired or a little, things were going a little offside or, maybe we had Mother's Day and then we had Akshaya Tritiya, we had Jupiter going direct, we had a fourth moon. And so that can be a lot of energy coming in, and so it can be very disturbing to the body, mind, and soul. So just some care and attention needs to be taken, and if you didn't take some time out to do that last week, then do it this week. And the good news is, too, is that we're going into a full moon. In the full moon, when we go into a waxing cycle, things seem to get brighter. So we had a Vishnupati, which means that maybe some of us had money miracles yesterday or promises of money miracles and coming in that energy or ideas, or maybe we feel energized at the level of our projects. Things were opening up for us that have been stuck. And that happened yesterday. And then today is Pentecostal Sunday. Now, what does that mean? I really didn't know too much about it. But I just Googled it, and it says it's a Christian, this is one of the definitions, it says it's a Christian festival celebrated on the seventh Sunday after Easter, commemorating the descent of the Holy Ghost upon the apostles. It's also called Whit Sunday, or White Sunday. So that was one definition. And then there was another one. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty wind coming, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, they meaning the apostles. And there appeared to them parted tongues as if it were fire, and then it sat on every one of them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with divers tongues according to the Holy Ghost. It gave them the ability to speak to the Holy Ghost. So Christ had promised the apostles that he would send his Holy Spirit on Pentecost, and they were granted the gift of the Spirit. I'm scrolling down here. The apostles began to preach the gospel in all of the languages that the Jews who were gathered there spoke, and about 3,000 people were converted and baptized that day. So that's, also just another link. And so what does it all mean? Well, whenever we tap into a vortex of energy, regardless of what background we're from, culturally speaking or religiously speaking, we can access that energy. And so you may have witnessed today, or are witnessing today, depending on where you are in the world, that there's maybe a wind, and listen to that wind. Or maybe there's a whisper in your ear, so to speak. Or maybe you go into a very deep and profound meditation. Or maybe you have ideas about how to express yourself from the soul perspective and out into the world, and you connect with other high-spirited individuals. So it's a time where Dr. Pillai, as he shares, the Holy Spirit is a very important teaching that he has given out in various programs that were offered through, I think, different events, public events, and in some of the programs. So what does that mean? The Holy Spirit can mean a lot of different things across the board. So Holy Spirit isn't just related to Christ or Christianity or the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost and the Gospels and the Apostles and all the rest of that lineage. It can be, the Holy Spirit can be any archetype, any holy divine being, God, angel, that you relate to. It can be the wind itself. It can be nature. It can be an animal totem. So keep your attention open or at hyper alert. Not that you would be like, oh my God, hyper vigilance. Not like that. But you're just really keeping the eyes open. And when you're in your meditation, you're going really deep and actually asking, searching for it, and searching for the message that comes to you. Because it will be in a different way. We'll be saying some mantras, and you maybe not know these mantras, or you do know the mantras, but you don't have the experience of it to the level of that your consciousness wants to take you. So wind is also the prana. So at the wind being in the sky, the wind blowing, or the wind as we speak, or the wind as we sing, that's on the more gross level of understanding what wind or air is. So at the subtle level, on the spiritual path, the subtle level is the prana. So we're going to have an experience of going deeper into our meditation practice, into our spiritual being that we know ourselves to be at this point in time. And then we're going to have a conversation with that divine being. And it doesn't have to be in speaking the language that we speak, wherever we are, whatever our native tongue is, or whatever we speak in the city or the place that we live in currently. It will be how our soul is speaking. It might come as a message. It might come as a garbled message. It might come as frog, car, bed. It's something really, okay, what is that? So if it does come to you, I'm not saying that those are the things, please. I hope you know me. Everybody's going to frog, car, bed. Okay, erase that. So whatever it does, whatever comes to you, it's going to have some significance. And so we'll dive into that, and we'll dive into the teachings of Ganesha, because he's really powerful and it's so important to invoke him every week. And he is very powerful on Sundays because he's the overlord of Ketu, which is also a very spiritual being, and it's a planetary force. And it's not a planet in and of itself, but it's an energy that gives us the ability to really go deep into our spiritual being, our spiritual aspect of ourselves. And so Ganesha helps to remove all those obstacles within us that are blocking us from expressing it. And then once we have all that release of energy that's been harnessed within us, some call it the Kundalini energy, some call it, God energy, whatever it is to you, then however you relate to it, then that's how it's going to make sense to you. So when we release that energy, then we have it readily available to help with our manifestations. Now, our manifestations can be on the spiritual path or in our material pursuits. So while we are just listening to me banter on, think of a couple of things that you would like to manifest and relating to your finances, because the sun is moving into the natural second house. Taurus is a sign that is ruled by Venus. And Venus is also the overlord is Lakshmi. So Ganesha and Lakshmi have a really great relationship, because Ganesha gives us the intelligence. It gives us the ability to be open to miracles. And he also represents success. So he wants to give you the shortcut to success. And then we also know that having the finances, having our material comforts taken care of, then we feel very good. We feel like as if we have everything that represents happiness on the earth plane. So we have. So you can think about what it is that you want to manifest here on the earth plane, and get the blessings of Lakshmi, get the blessings of Ganesha to make it happen in a very graceful and easy manner. And we'll light up the brain, as we have been in the past couple of weeks with Dr. Pillai. He's been pumping out so many videos on Facebook, on Pillai Center, on AstroVed. And so he really is giving us the most current and the highest teachings. So when we have the most current and highest, we're living in the now, and the highest is the easiest. It's the fastest. Because just like when a rocket ship goes into space and it goes out there for, a couple of hours, that can be like a couple of years in our time. So we can timeline jump. And we just have to have that connection to these archetypes to take us to their space. Each archetype, as Dr. Pillai says, has a space. And it is, it's also called loka in Sanskrit, so a location where that archetype presides. And so that archetypal energy, how do we get there? Well, we go in deep into our meditation. We connect with that energy through the mantra practice, through the guided meditation, the technique, the mind process. And we merge with that energy. And we feel that energy within us. And we sense like an electrical current running through us. As Dr. Pillai has been sharing about Tesla, he's talking about how each archetype has a certain quality of light and a certain characteristic or intensity, frequency, speed of light. And when we have more light and we can resonate with that light, we integrate that light into our lives, then things can happen really fast at the speed of light. And it will light up our brains so that we will remove darkness. We will remove anything that's related to darkness, like lower vibrating energies or thought forms. We will blast thoughts of karma that are coming from the past that are no longer serving us. So it can get zapped really quickly. And then the light lays down new neural pathways. So there's, as Dr. Pillai says, there's about 100 billion neurons in our brain and about 100 trillion synapses. So when we are practicing the mantras, we are zapping or turning on all those billions of neurons and trillions of synapses. Those synapses means the connections to each of the neurons. So over the whole brain, that's a lot of electrical currency going through our brain cells. And then when we're lit up, then it's like we said, the saying goes, we're on fire. We just were so passionate. We want to do things. We get all these ideas come to us. The people come in to contact with us, and they're like-minded because their brains are lit up too. So like attracts like, and then we're in this enlightened state of being. So, and then too, one of the things that Dr. Pillai shared about is, when we're lit up, our whole brain is functioning. We have whole brain functioning versus just left brain, which is the logical, rational mind that says yes, no, right, wrong. And it causes delays because it's just so busy analyzing. and it gets paralyzed, analysis by paralysis, or paralysis by analysis. And then the right brain is there, hey, I want to create, I want to do this, I want to be open to miracles. No, 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 you can't. It's not possible. So when we do these mantras and we call in these archetypes, it's you know, it's science and religion coming together. We have this experience of explosion in our brain. And then that in and of itself is kind of like the Big Bang Theory on the microcosm level. And then what happens there is we get faith. We have utter positivity. That's what faith is. So we build faith. We build that positivity. We build enlightenment. And Ganesha will help us too, because he, as Dr. Plyce said in a recent, I think it was on Facebook video, he said something about Ganesha can be accessed at the root chakra, which we all talk about and we all experience it every week. And then he also, that's called the lower body, base of the spine chakra, but he also has an upper body chakra. And it's at the pituitary or the brow chakra, in between the two eyebrows and just at the bridge of the nose where the two nostrils meet on your forehead. So we want to, we'll experience that in our meditation as well. So that's the background to, or foreground, or that's our foundation for today's practice, is we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can be Christ. It can be the Holy Spirit related to Christ. It can be, you know, the seven flames. It can be you all of a sudden you start to speak in tongues. Go for it, because no one's looking. And if you do, that's fine. And then also it can be any archetype. So we're going to focus today particularly on Ganesha and Lakshmi's energy. And then also we have this coming week, there's two big birthdays. Actually, next weekend. We won't be together until Sunday. So Friday, according to the India Standard Time calendar, we have a Pradosham on the Thursday. It's a Guru Pradosham. And then we have Narasimha Jayanti, which means Narasimha's birthday. He's related to Vishnu, and he destroys the ego. He just will rip it out of us. And he will say, you know what, stop negating. Let's get into God and have faith and just trust in the divine. And that's also 14th moon. And so the 14th moon, as Dr. Ply says, never, ever, 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 or forget it, or always, 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 always remember the 14th moon relating to Ganesha, because he will destroy obstacles. So there's a lot of 18th or 19th and 20th, Thursday, Friday, according to India Standard Time. Those are powerful days. So rest up. Or focus on putting all your mundane things maybe in the beginning of the week, and then more spiritual time for you to do your meditations and then connect with these archetypes and do your Pradosham practices. And then we have Muruga's birthday, which is on the 21st, and that's called Vaikashi Vishakam. That's the star of Vishaka, is the star of Muruga. So we want to propitiate Lord Muruga's birthday as well. And those two archetypes will really give us that experience of going deep and clearing out whatever is inside of us that needs to be dissolved away. And then it will also get us connected to that Holy Spirit, that God consciousness within us. And it will manifest or reveal to us different things. So those are the archetypes that we'll utilize or we'll access or we'll call on to help us to understand how we can get in touch with the Holy Spirit. Thanks for those of you who need to go. Thanks for joining, and we'll post the blog to, or sorry, the, I can't even speak now. My tongue got twisted. We'll post the call recording to the blog, and then also there will be an emailer that gets sent out as it does every week, and you can read about the sun transiting into Taurus and other wonderful planetary information that we're going to receive from Radha, our Vedic astrologer. So have a fabulous week ahead. And then those of you who are going to stay on the call will open the line now for Radha to come on and then share about this sun transit and how we can make the most out of it in our everyday life. Let's see if I can open this up. Rod, are you there?
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Good morning.
Yes. Good morning. How are you?
Oh, good. Thank you. It's nice to be here and share a meditation on the Pentecostal Sunday.
Oh, thanks for joining and thanks for doing this transit talk. What is happening for the sun as it transits into Taurus?
Well, yeah, we're in for a change. Yesterday, the sun transited into Taurus, and we had just completed a month where the sun was in Aries, and that was giving like a really fiery energy of initiating things, of giving the energy to start off the whole new Vedic New Year. And during that month, just as a little recap, Dr. Pillai introduced Ganesha to us again, because Ganesha is just being really, really active right now and available to us. And he had a webcast, and he even repeated the webcast a second time in the month. And so we're just switching gears a little bit now as sun goes into Taurus. Taurus is ruled by Venus. And so it's going to be, sun is really going to be lighting up Venus's energy of wealth, of beauty, of the arts. So this is going to be interesting. The sun is going to be traveling through Taurus until June 14th. And a little bit about Taurus is that it's called Vrishabha in Sanskrit. And it's the most grounded and luxury-loving sign. And it really brings in a lot of energies of the arts and beautiful things and the energy to accumulate prosperity. It's an earth sign, and it's symbolized by a bull, which is, you know, a very steady and hardworking animal. And bulls really have all 4 feet firmly planted on the ground. And so it's kind of like it's creating a very stable environment in which to manifest, to create wealth. And just as a reminder, you know, on Wall Street, there's a statue of a bull, and the bull market is when the market is going up and people are making money. And then Taurus is the natural second house of the zodiac. It's going to be a different house for you in your own personal horoscope, or it might be the second house, but it could be any of the houses for you personally. But for all of us in the world as a whole, it is the natural second house. And so that does have an effect on us. And the natural second house, it's associated with earning money and saving money. There's many different types of income, but the second house is more associated with like the income for your daily expenses. And it's also associated with the mouth. So that means it's associated with the food you eat and also your speech and your ability to persuade people through your speech. So sun is going to be lighting up all these different energies this month. And really interesting and nice thing is that this Thursday, May 19th, Venus is going to enter Taurus too. And so Venus is just like entering his own house, and he's going to be traveling through his own territory. And that means that Venus is going to be able to express himself very well and to do his work optimally, because all nine of the Vedic planets, they each have their own job description, and they each bring us different karmas, you know, depending on our own birth chart and our own karma situation. So Venus is going to be able to really do, just really be powerful this month, and he's going to be right there with the sun. And as you might remember, the goddess Lakshmi is the one that rules Venus. And Venus, although we consider Venus in Vedic astrology to be male, like we consider actually all the nine planets to be male, but Venus is definitely very much connected to all the goddesses and brings in the goddess energy. So try to connect with Lakshmi this month, and it'll be a lot easier with Venus right there in Taurus and Sun being there too. And practice your Shreem Brzeez if you like. So finances and family may be at the forefront this month, and it's a good time to work towards creating a stable finances for yourself and like reorganize your money consciousness. This could involve doing a number of different practical things, you know, working on your budget, working on your business or your job, or you're looking for the new job. And you may also find it very beneficial to go back and revisit Dr. Pillai's recent webinar that he had last week, and it was all about wealth brain training. So it's all about reorganizing your brain for prosperity. And of course, since Ganesha is so active lately, make sure to ask for his help. He's the elephant-headed angel, and he'll help with all of this very easily. And this may be a great time to appreciate beauty in the arts this month and enjoy like a social outing with the family, for example. Now, something else, there are other influences this month which are kind of interesting, which is one of them is that Saturn is retrograde and Mars is also retrograde. And they're both sitting in Scorpio, and so that means that they're going to be aspecting Taurus. It's like they're not in Taurus, but they're looking at Taurus, and so they're having some influence. And this could be like a tricky influence. Retrograde means extra powerful, and Saturn is, you know, a planet of discipline, of compassion, patience, and endurance. And then Mars is a planet of the courage to do what's right and to have the willpower and to take action. So I would say to deal with this potentially tricky influence and to turn it into something positive would be as you take the action to create more wealth for yourself, make sure that you share with others. Give a percentage of your earnings to charity, for example, or do some volunteer service that would be helping people in some way. Because Saturn loves this. Saturn loves when we help others. And then, and this is probably the biggest way to turn tricky or unfavorable influences into positive ones. And then both Saturn and Mars are planets that can give us discipline and that value discipline. So I think it would be helpful to just practice having a bit more discipline as we take action this month. Just, you know, looking at, okay, what's the most important thing to do here, to spend the time on, and then to apply a bit of discipline to that. Like a first things first. So that's one thing. And then the other interesting planetary influence this month is that Jupiter and Rahu are going to be passing by each other. Really, they're going to be going past each other really close. And they're over in Leo, the royal sign of leadership. Jupiter will be going forward, and then but Rahu always moves backwards. Rahu and Ketu, you know, are the shadow planets. They don't have like a physical body like the other planets do, but they actually always move backwards. And so when the two planets like cross each other, sometimes it's like it can be kind of like a conflict between them. And it could be tricky energy. There could be some fireworks. And because these two planets have two really different job descriptions. Jupiter is the 200% planet of spiritual blessings and material wealth. Jupiter's like the guru of the gods. And then Rahu is a shadow planet and has to do with innovative ideas and new technology. And Rahu can also, well, let's take a look at the negative side, the possible negative side to both of these planets, and then let's see how we could turn it into a much more positive influence. If one is experiencing like a negative influence from Rahu, that can come out as in like addictions or toxic things, toxicity, and like confusion and deceit. For example, Rahu has a lot to do with our obsessions. You know, what are we obsessed with? And then if one is experiencing like a negative influence from Jupiter, that can come out as being like kind of like pompous or being like unrealistic, kind of like thinking, well, everything's going to be great, but then not taking the actual practical action to accomplish this thing, and then so then it doesn't go so well. So those are kind of like the possible negatives for Jupiter and Rahu, and to because Vedic astrology is all about the possibility of making negative influences more positive and getting blessings instead of problems. And so I would say the positive, turning this into a positive, would be like, you know, spiritual technology. Rahu has a lot to do with technology. Jupiter has a lot to do with spiritual teachings. And like having a healthy fascination and a tenacity for our goals, our positive goals, you know, as opposed to like an unhealthy obsession to something that's not good for us. And one example of this would be enjoying Dr. Pillai's teachings through technology. He's doing a lot of this lately, actually. He just started doing, yesterday, he did a Facebook webcast, like a video, live video from Facebook. And so I think he may be doing more of those. And then just last week, he did the first live video feed on Periscope. So that might be a fun thing to find out how to access those. Because I imagine he'll probably be doing more of those. You know, sign up for an account with Periscope, and then on Facebook you can sign up to get notifications from the Pillai Center Facebook page so that you'll know when he's going to do these live videos. And then, of course, he does the Google Hangouts. So that's really using the technology to make the spiritual teachings available. And then really everything Dr. Pillai does, it seems, is like a spiritual technology of, you know, teaching us how to manifest, teaching us how to clean up our bad karmas that have been limiting us and causing so much suffering, and with the many rituals and techniques and mantras that he teaches. So so I think that's a good positive conjunction that can happen with Jupiter and Rahu. And as always, if you, you know, if you're feeling like if you need to strengthen any of the planets or they're, you're getting problems, you can always do a virtual puja for them on Astrovid, or on your, or you can download the apps on your smartphone. Or you can just do it the old-fashioned way and chant their mantra. For example, Jupiter can be honored by Om Gurave Namaha, and then Rahu is Om Rahave Namaha. And those are easy things that you can do just in a few minutes. Preferably, you would pay attention to that planet's hour or that planet's day, and then just do the mantra at that time. And every day there's a Rahu time, and then, you know, three times every day there'll be a Jupiter time. Three times every day there'll be a Hora for each of the planets. So just to do a little summary about favorable activities this month, I think number one would be taking action to create a good financial situation and just practice having a little bit more discipline with that, and feel free to use the brain training for wealth that Dr. Pillai has so generously given us last week, and we'll put the link to it on the blog. It's available on YouTube. And then practice effective speech and communication. That'll be a good focus this week, this month as well. And maybe think about doing something to make your diet a bit healthier. And just be being careful to avoid stubbornness or being like greedy, stuff like that. And really embrace the goddess consciousness. And I'm sure you'll find opportunities this month to enjoy beauty, enjoy the arts, enjoy luxury. And the ultimate is just loving the divine too, because devotion is probably the highest expression of Venus's energy too. So I hope everyone has a good month. Let us know how it goes, and we're going to have an action-packed week, as Sucharita also already mentioned, you know, with having the 11th moon tomorrow, Monday, which is the time for wealth and money consciousness, Vishnu, and then having the Pradosham. It's going to be on, yeah, I think it's in India, it's definitely on Thursday. In the U.S., you could definitely celebrate it on Thursday, but you could also celebrate it on Wednesday night, I would say, because the 13th loop is starting. It's not starting before sunrise on Wednesday. It's starting afterwards. So, you know, you could wait to celebrate it till the next day, because there's something about when, you know, whatever moon phase or star is active at sunrise, I think the sun just like activates that for the whole day. But you know, you could celebrate Pradosham on both times, or you could just do it on Thursday, whatever you prefer. But and then Narasimha's birthday Thursday, and then Maruga's birthday Friday, along with the new moon, which is starting on Friday afternoon, and it's going into Saturday. So there's going to be a lot of energy this week, like there always is, it seems. So it's nice to have a chance to come together on the calls with Sucharita and just kind of have a look at, like, okay, what's going on in the next week, just so that we can, I find it helps me a lot just to become, you know, make sure I don't miss any of these high energy windows of opportunity. So I think that's about it for the forecast. And do you have any feedback on Sun and Venus in Taurus, Sucharita?
Oh, thanks so much, Rod. It's always great to hear your forecast and how we can, you know, potentially turn some of the maybe or possibly the challenging aspects of the planets and then turn it into a positive way of being. And that's what the planets are. They're not just balls in the sky. They are this energy that's being beamed in us, and it's activating those different characteristics. So when you were speaking about how to get the most out of the aspect coming from Saturn and Mar- Saturn and Mars retrograde, and they're aspecting Taurus, which will have Venus in there that's fun-loving and luxury-loving, and we might get out of control and then, you know, spend too much or eat too much or talk too much because it's fun. As Dr. Ply says, it's fun to gossip. It's entertaining. But then that also can be destructive. So with Saturn looking at us internally saying, oh, is this a good thing for you really to do? Try to be patient and then create a better, you know, structure in your way of speaking, your budget, and also in what you're eating. So those were really helpful tips. And then Mars being there, it gives you the courage and the willpower and the strength to take it on and to just curb those impulses. You know, Mars is also very impulsive too, but if we turn it inward, we can use that impulsive energy, that really strong, fiery energy, to burn away that desire to, you know, go for the bonbon, chocolate, wine, or cigarette, or whatever it is, and maybe that's not going to be so healthy for us, and really is that going to create a great social environment if you're, you know, complaining to people, oh, you know, I'm too heavy and I smoke too much and I drink too much, you know. So it will help you to really go inside and say, you know what, this is the time where I can just give it all up. The sun is about intelligence. It's about health. It's about well-being. It's about, you don't need all those other things to make you to feel good. So, because that's just temporary and it's just at the level of the karma. So the sun will purify that desire and make it and turn it around, and so that you have more, you have the courage. You know, Mars and the sun aspecting one another will give that courage and strength to, you know, really take it on and purify and take care of the health and feel vital and feel that control over your eating, speaking, and so on. So that was really helpful to turn that around. And then the Rahu Ketu transit, I've been hearing from people and they're saying, you know, I got this, they call Rahu and Ketu the snake planets too, right? And so the snakes can, we can take care of snakes when they're just little ones. So if you are feeling, you know, like poisonous attacks, or you're lashing out, or you know how a snake is really quick and it, you know, goes out there, just catch yourself. And you know, Ganesha is great for that. He, in fact, he has a snake belt. There's some, you know, different mythology. In fact, and Dr. Plash says, you know, read about Ganesha, watch videos about him, because he will give you clues about your own life and how that relates. He's very, very prominent now in 2016 and going, moving forward, because he is, again, that gateway at the bottom of our spine, and the Kundalini is also known as a snake. So when we have a lot of energy moving through us, and then we have it's kind of mixed energy, being human and divine at the same time, it can get out of control. So, you know, Ganesha has this snake where he has a snake belt and he's holding that energy in. So that, you know, to help with the Rahu Ketu, yes, we pray to Durga, who's the overlord of Rahu, and then Ganesha is the overlord of Ketu. But, you know, you can easily access Ganesha's energy, and then that kind of covers the whole snake issue. So we don't want to go too snaky or have snaky things appearing in our life. You can, Ganesha will have an exit strategy for you. So every day, pray to Ganesha. We've talked about this in the recent months. And then if you're in that Ganesha course, there's a Ganesha course that's going on through Ply Center. And I think it's going to be extended, or maybe a second part to it, and might be going all year round. But check it out, and we've heard from some of the members here too, they're really enjoying the teachings of Ganesha and how it's applying, how to apply that energy in the life. And so, you know, offering the Ganesha grass, the Bermuda grass, even if you don't have any, You can get the seeds online. And then Dr. Ply says you can put it in a ghee lamp, just a few seeds. And just this, when you're burning the lamp, the ghee lamp, then the seeds will be absorbed in that ghee, and then that energy will go out, the essence of it will go out into the atmosphere around. So that's a nice tool to have, spiritual tool, to call on Ganesha. And then you can break coconuts. So we've got a 14th moon coming up. Every 14th moon, either waning or waxing. Waning is really powerful, but both the waning and waxing cycles is good to crack a coconut. So you imagine Ganesha as the coconut. He's the surrogate, and just pour all your negativity into that and just smash it. It's so fun and so rewarding. And you see how it shows up in your life. And there was something that I wanted to mention that we didn't mention about upcoming events and things like that. It's called, just let me pull it up here. It's offered on AstroVed, and it is called Emergency Ganesha or something like that. I'm just keying it in. Ganesha. And it's a, yeah. So you can, it's called Emergency Karma Clinic to Nullify Karma, Smash Through Karmic Influences That Haunt You. And I was just like, this is so awesome. Because it says, bring an emergency to stop your suffering. And Dr. Ply says, there's an emergency. You have to bring emergency to stop your suffering, whether it's financial suffering, whether it's physical suffering, disease, relationship suffering. You have to stop it immediately. It is very urgent. You have to create an emergency, and that is important. Otherwise, you'll be waiting forever, and you will elect to suffer, and it's foolish to elect to suffer. There are technologies. So the Emergency Karma Clinic uses a lot of symbols and rituals, and that's the reason why I created this Karma Clinic, and I want you to try it. It's, again, it's a scientific process. We have to test it, and I want you to test it. Not just once, but give it two or three times before you drop it or keep it. So that's Dr. Ply saying, and God bless. And so we can put that link as well. And you can read about it. And what it is, it's there's a Homa, an individual Ganesha Homa at a very powerful place. And there's Abhishekam and Archana, which is the elemental ointment that goes, that the pour different items on the Ganeshas there, and then Archana is an offering with light and incense and all the rest. And that's at the 11 Ganeshas temple, the power spot that I shared about a couple of weeks ago, that I was fortunate enough to go and smash some coconuts and do Abhishekam. I didn't do a Homa, but there was it was really powerful. And then 1,008 coconut smashing at this power spot, and then you get the complimentary Shiva Shakti Mala beads with a Ganesha pendant. And Dr. Ply says, an individual Homa Abhishekam Archana will be performed at this Ganesha power spot. It's considered the archetype Vishnu, as per the advice from Shiva, went there to regain his wealth. So he lost 11 types of wealth out of the 16 types of wealth. And so the 11 Ganeshas are there. And that will help to remove stubborn karmic blocks in the areas of finances, your career, your relationship with and health. So people always say, you know, I've been doing mantras, I've been doing practices, but nothing is working. And we encourage everyone to, you know, you have to keep, karma is complex, and that complexity is too much to analyze and tear apart. So why not just smash it all up and start over? And so these spiritual tools are really great ways to have a breakthrough. You know, we do so much worry. All our energy goes into worry. It goes into the negative. It's never going to happen. Why isn't it happening? You know, the who, what, where, when. And instead of just going and calling on these divine beings and having these tools, it's a great investment to do. And it's a blessing to be able to do it proxy because you don't have to jump on a plane and come all the way over here. So that's something that came up, and I'm so happy that it is available. And the place that it's that they're doing this proxy, it is really powerful. And if you haven't, if you weren't able to listen to that recording, I think it will be posted to the blog. Although we've been having a little bit of technical challenges getting those recordings posted to the blog. We'll get on that though. So that was something that I wanted to share that I just found out I saw. And that's Ganesha. Again, Dr. Pillai says, Ganesha, it's a two-way conversation. In that you go and smash a coconut or you offer the durva grass, or Bermuda grass to Ganesha, or you know, if you have a Ganesha statue, you can pour some milk or juice, or you know, even turmeric. Turmeric is also associated with Ganesha, and that will help to attract that energy into your life that will remove all the stubborn challenges. So, and then it, because we're on this spiritual path and we need, you know, shortcuts, and we need to know and have verification, Ganesha is really easy to connect with because he is first and foremost. In fact, he's known as giving preeminence. So you will become the first and foremost in your life. You're the one and only. You have quality skills that others don't have, and you will be noticed. So try it out. Everything is always open to experiment, and life is an experiment in and of itself. You know, we wake up every day and go, whoa, wonder what's going to happen today. You know, and we experiment with how our thoughts are going to move us into action. So if we're waking up and we're having negative thoughts, chances are we're going to create our own obstacles. And Ganesha does that too, so that you can call on him to smash them. And then once we get a handle on our negative thinking patterns or those limiting patterns, then we can use him to bring us these miracles, these timeline jumps, these opportunities that come out of nowhere, these shortcuts. And he's very playful, as many members have been sharing. So Ganesha, as the sun is transiting into Taurus, ask him to show you. I don't know anything about finances. I don't know anything about how to save money. I don't know anything about anything. And he will give you that that courage and that connection to, you know, go and seek it out. Start online. Go to your bank. Go to friends, family members, and as Dr. Pillai says, he will destroy denial. Yeah, whatever we're denying, we're in denial about, when you call on Ganesha, he's going to destroy it. And the more attention you put to it, you say, oh, you know, I'm okay. That's, you know, you should be having the, no, I have incredible abundance, and I have so much more for myself that it can spill over to others, and I can be charitable, as Radha shared. This is a month to be charitable as well. So, and charitable in, you know, sharing our finances if people need it, or to help others with our time, our energy, our resources, our knowledge. So Ganesha, you just say, okay, how am I going to be that today? Now you better show me how to be that. And it doesn't have to be necessarily for others as well. Be charitable towards yourself. If you're always other-oriented, you say, okay, Ganesha, I need to go inside. I need to really, you know, work on my spiritual energy. Get my energy back. I've been putting it out too much. And, you know, so he will keep you in balance. And then the turmeric that's related to Ganesha, you know, jump on to NambuHerbs.com, and it will talk a lot about, she talks a lot about Ganesha. There's articles there about the turmeric and how It creates this ability to not only give you good health and well-being, but you will radiate that energy and that will attract abundance in your life in all areas. So it's all about, as you said, bringing in or grounding our energy now. Like we've burned, blazed new trails. Now we want to make something manifest in our life that reflects, beauty and arts and our spiritual path. Internal, beauty is something that's internal as well, and it's expressed. So when we're connected to the divine, we're glowing. So we want to have that ability, that stability to manifest the wealth. And Ganesha will help to talk to you, to communicate with you, to speak to you in ways that you're speaking back and you're having a conversation internally, or you're just seeing, like we were sharing in the Ultimate Teachings calls this weekend, people have been saying, I have all of a sudden this thought comes to me and I'm saying the mantra, Ganesha, and then I see someone walk by with a t-shirt, an elephant t-shirt, and I get it. You're talking to me. I need to, address this issue in my life, or I need to come out of denial, and then Ganesha will show you a shortcut. He will show you how to come out of it. So why think about it? Why labor? Why be, in analysis and say it's not going to happen because of what your bank book says or the balance says? That's why we're here on the spiritual path, is to find out the secrets. And these are the secrets, so try them out. So that's what I wanted to comment back to you, Radha. Is there anything else that you wanted to share, or should we see if anyone else wants to chime in?
I think that's all I have on my end. It would just be nice to hear from other people if they have things to share.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yes.
I have a question for Radha. This is Marla. I wondered, when does Mercury go direct? I don't think you mentioned the planet Mercury, but thank you so much for all you shared.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hello.
Yes.
Did you hear me?
Okay. Hi, Marla. Okay, that's a great question. Let me just flip over here really quickly and check. Mercury is in Aries right now. Let's see here. And it looks like it's going to be May 22nd.
May 22nd.
Mercury's going to go direct. Yeah, so that's a good point. Mercury still is retrograde. So, it would probably be helpful to have a bit more caution with speaking, with communications, with technology. How has your experience been in this time that Mercury's been retrograde?
Well, I've just been wondering about, the signing of papers, things like that, if it's wiser to wait till it goes direct. I'm just finding sometimes you have to do things twice, things like that is what I'm experiencing. But I try to just also, not let it interfere with what I'm doing, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, good, because Mercury is retrograde a lot of the time. And so we can't just put everything on hold.
Right.
Yeah, and it'll affect all of us differently depending on how our relationship is with Mercury personally. And we can strengthen that, of course. We can chant his mantra, do a virtual puja for him, And that'll do a lot, and it'll always be more effective when we do that during Mercury's Hora, which we can find out through the smartphone apps.
Right.
And yeah, because Mercury's going, he's always going forward, and then he's going forward and backward, because he never gets too far away from the sun. So it's like the sun is the king, and Mercury is like the crown prince or the prime minister. And he goes out into the kingdom and he gathers information and he brings it back to the king. And then he goes back out again. And so he's like, that's why he's so much related to information technology. He doesn't really go out to, you know, convince people or go out to lead an army. He's just going out and getting the info, kind of like a journalist too, and bringing back to the king who decides, you know, okay, what do we have to do with the kingdom, you know, now based on this info.
That's a great imagery. Thank you for that.
Sure, that's a great question. And then I have heard that, you know, because you can also wear certain colors that correspond to the planets. That's also another way to, you know, strengthen your relationship to them. And Mercury's color is green. But then what I've heard, unlike the other planets, if one finds that you know, really have challenges with Mercury based on your birth chart, it's not considered so good to wear the green.
Huh.
So sometimes I don't wear quite as much green when Mercury's retrograde, but just for myself, I don't have it as a hard and fast rule. Because I don't experience that many problems with retrograde, but I do try to have like a bit of extra caution. So I hope that's helpful.
Yes, very much. Thank you. It gave me a lot of new ideas. Also, while I'm on, I just wanted to mention that I saw that film, Man of Particles, or Man to Infinity. It's funny I said particles instead. Dr. Pillai had mentioned our seeing it, and I don't know if either of you saw it, but when you were talking earlier, Sucharita, about faith versus, you know, there's a big question between intuition and proof, which is the base of the film. And I think that's what he had in mind in having us see it. I wondered if anyone had seen it.
Yeah, Marla, I saw that. It was in a video. We can include that, too. It says Ganesian turmeric has lightning. Is that the the video that he put out?
I think it was in that one, yeah, where he mentioned this film and he talked about the scientists.
I haven't seen it, but I definitely will have a look at it. And you're right. There is a relationship between the faith, because the faith is just this force, or the grace, if you want to say call it, that keeps flowing. And that's what we try to do when we meditate. We get in, meditation is this constant stream or flow of energy that's pulling us more towards the spiritual realms. And then as the grace flows, then our life becomes more you know, gracious, and we have more ease even through the challenges. We just know, okay, there's something to learn here, and I will be guided accordingly. And we become very in a mode of surrender, and then we feel this vibration. So I don't know what this video is about, but I definitely want to look into it. Did you want to share anything more about it?
Well, it's interesting because it tells the story of a scientist who was born in Madras without any education, but how he would pray to his goddess in the, you know, form of Lakshmi, and he, all of these formulas would just come through him and come through his head, and somebody recognized his genius. And so he gets called to Trinity College in England, where there is someone who can actually even begin to understand the formulas that are coming through. And he is an atheist. And so as you go through the film, you know, there's, you know, he has to have proof, and he has to prove himself to the fellows. And not only that, but it was during the First World War, and he is, you know, a man of color, and the prejudice. And it was just a very, very beautiful film. I think essentially he brought it up because it's about that idea of faith. Mm-hmm. Not always, you know, that we should trust our intuition. We don't always have to have such obvious proof. That was my feeling anyways, why he would have had us seen it.
Yeah, and too, I'm just looking at the transcript from that short clip where Dr. Ply is introducing it. So it's the Man Who Knew Infinity. It's a movie on Ramanujan, and
right.
He came to work with G.H. Hardy, and he said, Hardy told him, where are you getting this information? Where are you getting these equations? And then Ramanujan says, I'm getting the equations from God. And he goes, well, Hardy says, I don't believe in God. I believe in you. So the problem with our contemporary society is that we only believe in science and not in God. And or conversely, we only, you know, we have blind faith, and that can lead us down a path. So when we're with Dr. Ply, he's always giving us great insights and, you know, of mixing the where to go to find out how do we get this into balance? How do we get the material and the spiritual into balance and then bring it into our life as an experiment and let it unfold? And that's what the archetypes do, is they get us into the state of grace, and then we get into this energy field where we can access the divine beings, and then they can reveal, and it can happen in a flash, it can happen in an image, it can happen in a vision, like a video that goes on. Some people have full-on movies going on in their meditations. God bless them. Some people see numbers, or like this guy with the equations. Yeah. And that's what we want to do, is we want to have a two-way communication so that when we're not only in our trance state, because that's how these guys get it, right? They go into this trance state because they're totally immersed in their work and they're totally focused. And their third eye is just rocking. And but they don't say it as the third eye, or they don't relate to it as that. They're just focused. So that's what meditation is. It's a, you know, it's a focus of our thinking, and we just want that answer to our problem, or we want that object of our desire, or we want that relationship. So what happens is we become scattered in our thinking, and then we lose our focus. So meditation helps us to be in that stream of consciousness and keep our attention on whatever it is that we want to manifest, and then the divine, the archetype will say, hey, you call on me and I'll tell you to keep paying attention to your finances. You know that this month is all about finances, so don't go off and try to get relationships. I mean, that's going to happen, but focus on improving your finances, and then you can go out on a date the next month or do whatever. So it's great. I appreciate you sharing about this, The Man Who Knew Infinity, and reminding us to have a look at it again.
Yeah, it's a very, I thought I was, it was really a wonderful film. I thought it gave you some insight, but I wasn't sure exactly what he had in mind when he suggested we see it. So you helped explain that too. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. He's relating it to Ganesha. So that was the premise. I have the transcript of that short clip, the video that Dr. Ply put out, and then when he introduced this movie to go and watch, he had said this, because Ganesha is related to turmeric. Ganesha is all in the Hindu rituals and remedies that are being done in India, to in the traditional sense, there. They use the turmeric first, and that is represents Ganesha. And they do that offering, and then they do the rest of the ritual. So they always call on Ganesha, and Ganesha's energy is associated with the turmeric. And so that's why he says that's the reason why he put the turmeric on Namu Herb's list, because, and he energized it with the phonemics, because the phonemes are related to the spiritual realm that will activate this herb, the turmeric, And then it brings the God. So it brings you closer to that, you know, that space like Ramanuj, where he just prayed and he just said, okay, you know, reveal to me these equations and then I'll prove it later, or I'll come up with the answers later. I just need to have a target. So Ganesha will say, okay, what's your problem? What do you want? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to do my work with you? And then sometimes he will say, hey, you're in denial. You're not looking at your finances. You're not looking at your relationship. You're not looking at all the things that you are challenged. You're not looking at your challenges because it's too painful. So he will give you the answers to help to overcome those challenges. And then in a lot of cases, we're working in UT, Ultimate Teachings Program, the year-long program. We're working a lot with Ganesha. And so the meditations have been really, really powerful and just almost zonking me out. but I do them and I get into that space of Ganesha and I don't even know what happens, but the rest of my day unfolds in a very beautiful way. And all those things that I was worried about or had fear come up, or oh God, I got to go face this or do that. It just got dissolved, and it got all that energy got dissolved, and then the situation got resolved. And I was like, okay, this is Ganesha talking to me. So it's a two-way communication, and not just in the meditation, at thereafter. And then have that gratitude. You know, we have to communicate that gratitude to these archetypes. And then that way, like Ramanuj, he's talking to the higher self, the spirits, the gods, and they're talking back to him. So that's Ganesha. And as Dr. Pillai says too, Ganesha is also associated with numbers. So chances are, even if he didn't mention Ganesha, he was probably talking to Ganesha because he's all about the numbers.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Does that give you a little bit more insight or,
yes,
or connection?
Thank you
to
very
the...
much. Do I hit star six? So.
Yeah, you sure can.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Marla. That. Have a great week.
Okay. You too.
Speaking of gratitude, I just pulled up this quote. It's from Robert Louis Stevenson. We all know the famous author. And he says, the person who has stopped being thankful has fallen asleep in life. So I posted that to a post-it note on my on my desktop here on my laptop. And it just reminded me, even in the challenges, just be so thankful. You know, put that in the space. Have the attitude of gratitude for being able to, okay, I have a situation, but I can call on these archetypes. I can call on the blessings of Dr. Pillai and just say, you know, you're channeling Ganesha right now. He's totally immersed in you. And if I just call on you as my spiritual guide in this lifetime, then you're going to mentor me all the way through this. You're going to give me clues. You're going to give me that connection to Ganesha that I need. And you have to trust that. That's how we establish faith and trust. Because our human mind will go into denial. And it will trick us. And it will make us to be not trusting or going the other way, which we all know. We don't have to talk about it. But just... it will help to establish that faith, that trust, and reestablish it, reconnect it, and know, you know, who you can trust and who is a little bit dodgy. But you don't judge it. You just say, there's an obstacle. Okay, over this way. So life becomes a lot of fun. So gratitude is always, something that's constantly on my mind, even when I'm not expressing it as fully as or optimally as possible. I have to have these little post-it notes to remind me, okay, just be grateful. Be grateful to be alive and carry on. And then call on Ganesha because he makes it playful. Is there someone there on the line?
Hi, Sucharita. It's Alicia. How are you?
How are you this week, Alicia?
I'm good. I'm good. If Radha is still around, I have a question for her.
Sure. Radha?
Radha, and I know you both mentioned that the focus for this month is finances. I was still just curious to know what the implications were for relationships. And if I may share, Mars is the ruler of my seventh house, and I'm in the phase of Venus. I don't know. I'm not an astrologer, but this is what I was told.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's always a good question. You know, what do the planets have in store for me, or, you know, in terms of relationships? And I think to answer it fully, it would probably be better to get, like, a full reading. You know, there's a lot of good astrologers over at AstroVed, because you'd really want to look at your whole chart, and, you know, you mentioned your major planet of influence is Venus now, and, you know, we'd want to look at, like, well, what houses does Venus rule in your chart? And, you know, how strong is Venus, or, you know, does Venus need to be strengthened? Stuff like that. So you might want to think about doing something like that. Have you ever had an astrology reading?
Yes, and the astrologer was the one who told me all this. So, yeah. No, I was just wondering, you know, have you had a general reading on finances, if you had a general reading on relationships in this month? That's all.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. That's a good question. Well, not so much, because it is really going to vary for different people. But, I mean, that said, Venus is a planet that has to do with relationships, and he's going to be very, very strong this month until June 12th, you know, starting on the 19th of May. And so that definitely seems like something that could, it's going to enhance the Venus energy. And, so you mentioned you already got the astrology report. You know, sometimes I get an astrology reading too, and then I don't really like what they tell me. And I just have to, I don't know if that's the case with you or not, but I just have to remind myself that Vedic astrology is all about being able to improve whatever karmas are scheduled for me, and through doing remedies. And really, it is possible to improve any situation. You know, we all have kind of like a different destiny, but, you know, Dr. Pillai is putting out a lot of tools out there for us to raise up to a better destiny.
Can I just chime in, Radha?
For sure.
Yeah, so I guess so. I'm trying to get clear about the question that Alicia is asking. If you're running a Venus, and correct me if I'm wrong, Radha, jump in there. With the Venus energy, if that's the major influence, and then Venus is in its own sign in Taurus, it might compel you to want to go out and date, because Venus is fun-loving. It wants to go out and date. You'll have, you have to be careful with your speech. If you have a Mars in the seventh house, that's going to give you some fiery speech, but maybe some passion, some more passion will come, or that. You know, excitement, or you know, you'll get in the mood to get out there and express yourself and go after someone if you are seeking relationship, or just have the thoughts to do it, and you know, and then those thoughts will lead to actions. But then just be careful. Always be careful with the seventh house Mars. I don't know what the signs are. I don't know what your general chart is, but the astrologer may have given you some, cautionary notes about that kind of situation in your chart. So, yeah, Venus might compel you. Hey, get out there, get in the dating scene, have the courage, have the strength, do what you need to do, empower yourself to be seen and to be out there looking.
Thank you, Sucharita. Something Radha mentioned aroused my curiosity. So, like, for example, you know, the astrologer I spoke to, he was great, and I'm very happy with everything he told me. I was in fact, surprised in a good way as to how, like, you know, he told me this planet is in this house, and this is what that means, and that's exactly how my life is today. So I was like, wow, okay. And he did mention that the planets would move in certain ways, and he told me I would definitely get married this year in November or December. So, but you said that, you know, Dr. Pillai suggests remedies. So does it mean, so I'm not sure. I mean, like, if the planets say that something is going to, an event is going to happen at X point in time, and I'm okay with the event, but can you make it happen sooner with remedies? Or that's where I kind of get confused as to how doing mantras and karma removal would change what the planets per se have designed for you at X point in time. Sorry, I know I went roundabout on this question. Hello?
Radha, are you there? Was this for Radha, the question?
Anybody?
Yeah, Radha, you're there?
Yes, I'm there. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'd like to hear your perspective on it too, Sucharita, but one thing that comes to mind is there, you know, sometimes I want something, and then sometimes that's really good for me, and it's for my highest good, and it manifests, but sometimes it might not be the right timing or the highest good, and so it doesn't necessarily manifest right then. And so that's just one thing to take into account too. But, you know, it never, if you're feeling the need for some more remedies, you know, it never hurts to do some more, because you can do them at home, and it's not necessarily going to cost you much or any money or much time either. But you can really strengthen your connection to that planet and just get more blessings and less problems over time.
Yeah, I would agree with you there, Radha. And also, just doing all these remedies and rituals and practices isn't going to get the guy or the girl, if you're, you know. But it's not going to go and get the relationship. You got to go and take those steps too. So, you know, working with the archetypes, working with the remedies is going to, as Radha shared, it's going to be able to help you to take action. And it's going to give you insights, and ideas are going to pop up, and you'll go, oh, maybe I should do this to go meet someone. So don't just, if the astrologer is saying, yes, it'll definitely happen, and you're not even in the marketplace, or you're not even inquiring, maybe you're immersed in your work, or you're immersed in, I don't know, something else that's other than relationship seeking, then, like Radha said, chances are that time is going to come and go. So the planets will also be tricky if you, you know, if you don't pay attention to them, they will just keep you doing something else. And then you'll go back to the astrologer and say, hey, you said I was going to get married. And it didn't happen. So it's a two-way. So it's, you know, doing the, you got the roadmap, so it's up to you if you want to go on the express route or you want to go in and around the neighborhood to get there, because it will take longer or shorter, depending on your ability to, you know, decide what it is that you want to do, what you want to experience. So neither is right or wrong. It's just like Radha said, sometimes, well, you want to go through the neighborhood, it will take you longer to get to the destination. But then you have an experience along the way, and you don't mind the wait. You don't mind that it took longer. Sometimes you'll just say, no, I got to get on the express route, and I need to be there like yesterday. And then that will give you an experience. It depends on your personality too. So it might not be so enjoyable for you. So that's what we can share anyways, and I hope it's been helpful.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Alicia. Are there any other questions? Comments? We're at the top of the second hour. I think Dr. Pillai has another Facebook webcast or something that's just got pinged saying that was happening at, let me just see what that time was, 10 a.m. Pacific, well, could be Pacific Daylight Time. So that might be, I don't know what it is now in the West. But that'll be recorded as well, so you can access it as Radha mentioned. You just go on to Facebook Pillai Center and then Periscope, or probably it will be hosted on Facebook Pillai Center, where he's doing a lot of those video clips, and it's about the Holy Spirit. So it's interesting that we were talking about the Holy Spirit Pentecostal Sunday and then going in a meditation, having an experience, and now that's a nice segue in there if you want to jump over there and take a look after this call or whenever you'd like, just to give you a heads up. All right, any other questions or comments or shared experiences? Okay. Radha, are you good to go for the week?
I'm sorry, what was about the goal for the week you mentioned?
Are you good to go for the week? Are we good to go?
I think so.
Are we off this call? Yeah?
I think so. I hope everyone has a great week.
Yeah, it is. It's a very power-packed week, and thanks so much for sharing about everything that's going to be available, all the energies that will be available for us to manifest great stability and wealth and having a good health and good healthy habits and watch our speech and all the rest. So thanks for posting it to the blog and then also sending it out in the mailer, and hopefully we'll get this recording sorted out so it can be also available for those who want to listen to it again. And have a fabulous week ahead, everyone. And thanks, everyone, who came on and shared and who also is listening for holding the space. And thanks to Dr. Pillai for giving us the grace and blessings to continue this program that's very helpful, it seems, for a lot of people. And have a fabulous month ahead as well, in case we miss you next week or in the week after. But join again. All right, everyone, take care, God bless, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.